Super Sunday. So let's get started with the message. It's a great day to be together worshiping the Lord. Father, thank you so much that we can worship you in spirit and truth because you've made the truth known to us. You've revealed yourself. We could never find you out. We could never discover you, but you have revealed yourself to us in your creation, but also in the words of the prophets, and then most of all, through the person of your Son who has come to earth as one of us, living among us. We've seen through the stories of his glory. And we are those, unlike Thomas, we did not see the Lord Jesus in the flesh, but not seeing him, as we sang earlier, not seeing him, we love him. We believe in him. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. Help us to understand what you've done for us on the cross, taking our sins, reconciling us to the Father, giving us life, coming out of the grave, having victory over death, giving us new life, and then ascending to the Father, sending us the Holy Spirit to live in us, and then one day coming back. So help us now in the meanwhile to be your ambassadors, to be your messengers, giving the words of life, but also showing the change that you do in us by your Spirit, pouring your love in our hearts so that we can love one another and love others as well. Open our eyes to your word and our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the truth does set us free, but how? I want to consider that a little bit today. What is truth? I think that's in the Bible, isn't it? Who asked that question? Did he wait for the answer? No, he didn't expect an answer. But there is an answer. And actually, truth, he should have changed the interrogative instead of what is truth to who? Very good. Who is truth? Standing in front of him, the Lord Jesus Christ. What is reality? What happens if someone lives according to his or her understanding of reality only to find out at the end of life that that understanding of reality was totally wrong? Does that happen? Yes, it happens all the time. We don't want to be that, and we're not in Christ. What's the big truth about life, and what's the big lie about life? And how can we learn the truth about life and how to live it? And what shall we found our lives upon? So these are some of the questions we'll consider as we look into this. The main passage is out of John chapter 8, where the Lord was talking to disciples among the Jews who had believed in him. And he said, if you continue in my word, if you remain in my word, if you abide in my word, and the word is the same word as to where you live, where do you stay? Sam is overseas. He's staying in a hotel. That's part of the university. That's where he's abiding right now. That's where he's staying. He says, if you stay in my word, if you live in it, if you remain in it, then you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, there were people there who, in the crowd, that didn't believe in him. And so they said, we are Abraham's descendants and have never yet been enslaved to anyone. Which is, of course, denial. They're living in denial. They, at that very moment, were under the boot of Rome. And before Rome, it was Greece. And before Greece, it was many other occupiers. Many people living enslaved are in denial that they're in slavery. They think they're free. But you can't get free if you think you're free and you're not. So one of the first things you need to recognize is you're not free. And so they said, how can you say to us you'll become free? And then Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave of sin. So he wasn't even talking about military and political freedom. He was talking about spiritual freedom. And who is spiritually enslaved? Every child of Adam and Eve. were born into this world, physically alive but spiritually dead, under the control of the spirit of the world, of the devil. But Jesus came to fix that. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son does remain forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. And so he's talking about spiritual freedom. So Jesus' disciples who continue in his word will know the truth, and the truth will set them free. What does it set them free from? It sets them free from being enslaved to lies and unreality. They will be set free from sure failure and frustration. They'll be set free from trying to do the impossible. What are people trying to do? People are trying to make the lie come true. Guess what? You can't make the lie come true. It is not true. It will never be true. And even though billions of people try to do it, they cannot make the lie come true. Well, what is that? What's the big lie? Jesus said people will be set free as his disciples who know the truth. They'll be set free from sure failure and frustration. They'll be set free from trying to do the impossible because they'll stop doing that. They'll be free. Come on. It won't go. Can you make it go to the next one? I'm having trouble making it. There we go. Thank you. They will be free to become what God designed them to be so they can fulfill their true destiny, to experience fulfillment and success, to experience a productive and fruitful life. But all people without God at the center of their lives are trying to make the lie come true. It won't. It can't. The world system is built upon that doomed pursuit of trying to make the lie come true. And what is that lie? Trying to live successfully without God. Trying to live a human life without God. Humans can't live without God. To be a human is to be made in the image of God. To be a human is to be related to God. To be a human is to be dependent upon God. And so to try to live as a human without God is to try to do the impossible. But people try it. They try to find purpose and fulfillment and joy and love and justice and belonging and security somehow and somewhere within the created universe. But not in the source and sustainer of the universe, that is God, the only creator, God himself. And so think of that. People are trying to live life without God. Living a life without God is impossible because God is life. So now you're trying to live a lifeless life. You can't do it. God is life. God is the self-existent one, and he gives to everything existence. And all things, all creation, is dependent upon him to exist. And so people are trying to exist and live without being connected to the one who is life itself. That won't work. But what people do instead is they depend upon God, but they don't give God the credit. They don't give God the glory. Even the devil is totally dependent upon God, but he is not giving God the glory. What we need is to understand reality, and the foundation of reality is to know that God is the source of everything. That anything else is the big lie. It's sin. And Jesus came to set us free from this. My little children, keep yourselves free from idolatry, from idols. That's how John ends his first letter. What's the beginning of wisdom? What is understanding? It's knowing God. It's fearing and worshiping and giving God the respect that he deserves. Knowing him is understanding. And without this, people are lost. They're blind. They're in darkness. The world is what it is. Reality is what it is because God has made it that way, and it can't be anything else than the way God made it. And look, who is God? God is, what did Moses say? Lord, tell me your name. And this is his answer. I am who I am. God is what he is. He is the foundation of reality. He said, tell the sons of Israel that I am has sent me to you. Yahweh, the one who is what he is. Because God is what he is, and he's unchangeable. He doesn't need to change, and he can't change. He's perfect. He's complete. He didn't need us when he created us. He did it out of generosity and out of love. He didn't do it out of need. He doesn't need men to serve him. In fact, we can't really serve him. But he lets us join in his work the same way a father lets his small child join him in doing a project. The father can do it easier and faster without him, but he wants the child to learn and to enjoy the fellowship and also through it to grow up. So God's the ultimate reality. God doesn't change. He created us. He created the universe. Reality is what God made it. It doesn't change. It is, and we are, what God made us to be. It's not like the cartoons. In the cartoons, it depends on what the people believe. Like, how many times has Wile E. Coyote chased the Roadrunner off a cliff, and he doesn't fall? When does he fall? When he realizes, I have nothing underneath me. And so reality waits upon our understanding. So if he had never looked, I guess he would never fall, right? But is that the way reality is? The physical laws of nature don't act that way. Gravity is merciless. Whether you believe in it or not, there it is. That's the way God created the world, because that's what reality is. Reality doesn't care about you and what you think and what you don't think. You have to learn what reality is and change yourself to it. I remember one lady, I was talking to her, and and I've told you this story before, I was teaching adults how to read, adult Americans. And this one guy, the first time I met him, he told me he died, left his body, and his soul went towards this light, and then it started to fall towards the flame. And he screamed, Jesus, save me, and he went out of the flames back towards the light, came back into his body, and then he was in my class learning English, learning how to read. He knew English, he was learning how to read. And so that was the first time I heard anybody say that. And afterwards, I went to tell the lady, the director, and she said, oh yeah, I've heard his story. Same thing happened to me. What? Two people in the same day. She said, except I didn't go to the fire because I was a good person, he was a bad person. I went to the light. And the light had no man standing between me and the light. And I understood what she meant. She said there was no Jesus standing between her and her light. And then the idea occurred to me, this is a bitter woman, she's got divorced, and she's mad at her ex-husband, and she's taking it out on Christ. And sure enough, that's what happened. As she told her story, that's what happened. She said, I was in a car accident, and I left my body, and I went towards the light, and I was so happy, and I was going to, you know, be in heaven forever with this light. But then I remembered my two children. I have to take care of my children because my deadbeat ex-husband's not going to take care of them. So I had to take care of them. And so I went back into my body, and there she was then. And I was thinking, well, what do I say about this? And so I'm asking the Lord, what do I say? And I said, you know, reality isn't what you believe. You have to find out what reality is and change yourself according to reality. Reality is not going to change for you. So it's not whatever anybody believes. You have to find out what reality is. And I said, how long have you had this office? How many times did you walk through that door? There's only one way into that office. I said, every time you came to this office, I bet you walked through that door. Why didn't you come through the window? Why didn't you just come through the ceiling? Why didn't you just materialize? Because it doesn't work that way. You want to come into this room, you have to walk through the door. And God said there's a door. And he's the one who made the door. And you don't get to make up the door. And the only door that there is the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot change reality the way we want. Wile E. Coyote can spin in midair all he wants because it's not true. That's partly why it's funny, because it's not real. Gravity doesn't wait for you to know it's there. Or, and gravity doesn't suspend if you say, I don't believe in your gravity. If people don't believe in hell, their disbelief doesn't make hell cooler. If they don't believe in God, it doesn't make God disappear. No, we have to know what reality is, and we have to change and fit in according to reality. But people trying to make themselves wise believe, I can change my thinking and this will change reality. No, all it does is confuse their minds. They exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who's praised forever. Amen. It says in Romans 1, professing themselves to be wise, they became what? They became fools. Because reality doesn't change. They changed their thinking about reality, but reality didn't change. They just made themselves foolish. Deception is important to recognize. Now, how many like magicians? Illusionists. What do you like about them? You think, how did they do that? I know what it looks like, and what it looks like isn't real, but how did they do that? Did their hands move so fast? Did they misdirect while they're doing something else? How did they do that? You just think it's so clever that they deceived us, but no one thinks it's real. Maybe a few people think it's real, but most people, what makes it amusing is like, how did they do that deception so cleverly? But no one's taken in because they know it's a deception. But with liars, it's different. If you don't know you're being deceived, this is a great problem. We need to know what the truth is, and we need to know when someone is saying something other than truth. And it can be, we can be lying to ourselves, and that's a big problem. I want to tell you Tom's story. I met Tom in college. Tom was very unusual. Tom was a 3-time All-American. I shouldn't have told you that first, but anyways. He made the varsity as a freshman. Not only did he make the varsity football team, but he became an All-American, and he was an All-American all the way through high school. He had set some powerlifting records. His father was a power lifter, and his uncle was a football player. He didn't look like a bodybuilder. He just looked like a column. He was like this all the way around. You know, I mean, he wasn't real tall, taller than me, but like probably 6'1". But he was a tackle out of Texas, and because he worked hard. But other people worked just as hard, but they didn't get as strong. And one day he said, I was just thinking, I'm so strong. Nothing can take my strength away. Nobody can take my strength away. Not even God. Oops. There was a kind of an epidemic that went through his section of town. Lots of people got sick. Some people died. And he ended up in the hospital, flat on his back, not even able to get out of bed. And he remembered those words. He had heard the gospel a few times. Almost everybody in Texas has heard the gospel, right? But he never listened to it. A youth pastor went in and talked to him. Now he's listening. And does God have your attention, Tom? Yeah, he has my attention. And so he had many scholarships to different schools before he got sick. But he didn't go to any of those schools because he started to get better. He received Christ, and he came to our school, and we didn't even have a football team. It was a Bible college. He came there to be a youth pastor. And so I met him, and he's just starting to get stronger, and he's doing a little bit of weightlifting, and about halfway through his first semester, he started to lift a little bit, and then by the end of the second semester, he was up to 400 pounds on the bench press, but, you know, not quite to where he was before, but he was starting to feel, you know, better. He went home that summer to Texas, and he won an archery, a statewide archery contest. It's one where like an animal pops up and you have so many seconds to hit it, and then somewhere else another animal pops up, and so he's shooting these targets, and he won the contest. I said, wow, you're quite, and he was a hunter too, he was a big game hunter. And in America, apparently there's what they call big game, and he'd gotten most of those. He said the hardest one was the Rocky Mountain sheep because they're so hard to get to. And the most dangerous, he said, was the wild boar. And he said, I will never do a bison because they're tame, and they just say, walk up and shoot him. He said, I'm not going to get that one, so I won't get the record. But he won this contest, and then he also got engaged that summer. I said something, so you're a hunter, you ever use a rifle? He says, yeah, I'm not that good at the rifle. He says, my fiance's better. She won a rifle contest that summer. So these are kind of unusual people, right? But what happened to him? He had one view of life. He was on the fast track to being a football superstar, probably make a lot of money. And he said, this is life. And he said, there's something special about me. Other people do the same thing, but they're not as strong as I am. I'm special. And he was looking at life one way, and then he said, that is all wrong. God had to take him and change his mentality completely. He got him to the point where he was ready to listen. And so when he looks back on his sickness, how do you think he feels? Was that the worst thing that happened to him? He thinks it's the best thing that happened to him. That it pulled him out of this imaginary world that was without God and without purpose, and brought him into the world where there's a real God who has a purpose for his life. You didn't hear his name because he didn't become famous. He's just a youth worker. And I haven't kept up with him, but that's what he went to do back in Texas, work with troubled youth. And so what is the foundation to know reality? If we listen to the world, they're going to tell us a different story. We have to listen to the Word of God. We have to listen to the one that Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Except Pilate wasn't listening. Jesus said this, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, Jesus is preaching and many people are listening. And people think he's a great preacher and it's something to do. They had no TV. So it's something to do. Listen to Jesus. And he said, the ones who listen to these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. When the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and slammed against that house, it didn't fall because it was founded on the rock. But then there's other people, the people who listen to the words. And that's all they do is listen. Well, that was a nice message. That was a good sermon. That was very interesting. I want to tell someone about this. This will be cool. Maybe they even had him endorse their scroll. I don't know. Those who listen to these words, but they don't act on them, they're like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The same storms came against this person. The rains fell, the floods came. The wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell, and it fell hard, and great was its fall. Tom had one view of life, and he thought he was ready for the storm, and when the storms came, he was flat on his back, almost dead. And he realized, I don't keep myself alive. I didn't give myself this strength. God gave it to me and God can take it away. And he did. And he gave it back to him partly. I don't know how much, but he gave it back to him a little bit. But he was so happy that God woke him up to realize that his life has to be founded on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the truth. That's reality. There is no other reality. And when people get to the end of their life, they're going to stand before the judge. And that judge is whom? The Lord Jesus Christ. And you want to be the ones who said, Lord Jesus, I believed. I thank you for what you've done for me. You went to the cross. You took away my sin. You reconciled me to yourself. And Lord Jesus, I thank you for that. And now, as Christians, what is our life for? Our life is not for ourselves. Our life is for him who died for us and came back to life again. So now, he's asking us to live for him, or in fact, to die to ourselves every day so that we might live to him. Why? Because there are other people who need to hear the message. Someone came into Tom, and Tom was in a listening mood, laying there on his back, watching his life plans fly away from him. He was in a listening mood, and someone went in and shared the gospel with him, and he believed. And so we're to live for the Lord, we're to love him, we're to worship him, love one another so the world can see that we love one another, that we're a family in Christ, but also he wants us to be his ambassadors, sharing the good news of Christ so that others can consider it, recognize their former view was foolish, turn against their former view and say, there is a God, he created me. He came to earth. He put on flesh and blood. He lived a perfect life. He died in my place. He rose again. That's my God. That's my Savior. That's my truth. That is the truth. It's the big truth, that God is the truth, that Christ is the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. So Christians don't have a godless life, a lifeless life. We have a life-filled life, because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lord Jesus, that you came. You spoke the truth. You taught the people. You did miracles. You proved that you were from God by the miracles. And then your greatest miracle is your own resurrection. Going to the cross, the righteous dying in place of the unrighteous, the sinless in place of the sinful, so that we could be forgiven and reconciled to God. Thank you for that, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you ascended, you sent the Holy Spirit, you're coming again. And we belong to you because of the message that we've heard and believed. We thank you for whoever told us that message, parents, Sunday school teachers, pastors, friends, co-workers, even strangers, whoever it was. We thank you for the people that have told us the message. And Lord, use us also in telling the message to others. And help us to live in love with you, excited about who you are and about your truth, so that people can see that it's the truth is written on our lives and on our faces and in how we live. Thank you for that. Thank you for the communion that we share, and bless that time together, and then also the meal that we'll share together after that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.